There's one. Set for stun.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am John, and with me on the phone this week is the original Unique Geek, Ed. Ed, how you doing?
Hey.
Also, and apparently channeling Rerun. What's the guy's name? Rerun Jones? No, not Rerun somebody.
Just Rerun.
Dwayne Rerun Jones? No, that's somebody else.
Rerun. No, Dwayne was different.
Also, as you can hear, is our steampunk in residence, Rox. Rox, how you doing? Rox of Spaz House.
I'm fine. How is everybody?
I'm miserable, but thanks for asking.
All right.
So that's it. That's the end of the podcast. Oh, also on the phone, from parts unknown, Serve.
I am here, and I am not in the Great White North.
If you still think he's in the Great White North, you have not been paying attention.
What, for all two podcasts we've done in the last year or so?
Last, and certainly least, joining me in studio for the first time, me. I'm John. Oh, and there's also Shag.
The irredeemable Shag. Now, you know,
Hold on a second.
The irredeemable Shag.
Yeah, let's try this. Hold on, try it again.
The irredeemable Shag.
Yeah, let's try it again.
The irredeemable Shag.
Yeah, let's try it again.
Good lord. The irredeemable Shag.
Yeah, let's try it again.
The irredeemable Shag.
Yeah, let's try it again.
Okay, so anyway, I thought it would be different being in studio, but it's just like being at home. I don't have any pants on here either.
Yeah, but you're not in pain when you're at home.
That's true. These straps are very restricting that John put on me.
So anyway, awkward.
For me.
I thought that we weren't going to talk about it. The topic for tonight's podcast, today's podcast, this podcast you're listening to, and whenever that may be, is potluck. That's right, potluck. We've all brought a little something to the table, and we're all going to enjoy it as a family.
Hey, whoever brought the casserole, what's in it? Because I have certain dietary restrictions.
Green beans.
I Nuts. Think I misunderstood potluck. You may not want to have those brownies.
Or... Maybe.
Well, yeah, it's
always
completely...
the corn thing. Don't touch the corn casserole thing. It's always bad.
You're putting your pot in corn casserole?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I'm on a Mac, so this thing is kind
of had any, of course. But no. Moving on.
Yeah, so let's start with Ed. Ed had several tech topics he wanted to bring up, and why don't we put him on the hot spot? Ed, you're on the hot spot.
Good lord, you need to like do the scales?
Do you need a build up? Is that what the problem is?
Exactly.
It's Ed.
iPhone 4 sucks.
iPhone sucks, is that what you said? Okay, and that was Ed. Thank you. Sorry, go ahead, Ed.
No, I guess we'll just discuss all these issues that iPhone 4 has been experiencing. I guess this has been the big buzz on the internet lately is... You got to hold it in a certain way, and for it to actually get a reception, and et cetera, et cetera.
What are these jelly bands or whatever they are offering to sell you? What's that about?
That I don't really know. I haven't really paid attention to that.
I just think it's all kind of funny to tell you the truth.
It's the bumper. He's talking about the bumper. That ironically, that at the same time that they ironically or conspiracy theory, depending on your opinion, they're having all these reception problems with. The iPhone 4, where if you touch the antenna, which happens to be on the outside of the phone now, that it will lose reception. Now, there's varying reports of whether or not it'll drop a call or slow down a download, but ironically, or conspiracy theory, Apple made their first case that they've made for the iPhone, and it just happens to cover up the antenna.
Right. Now, too, there's also the issue that the mathematics that they came up with, or the equation for how many bars your antenna is picking up, has been so off, too. That was, I think, the latest thing I saw over the weekend.
Ed, I think they said it was it was off by 2 to 3
2 to 3, yeah, that's a lot. Like that.
Rounding it down or up or whichever it was that they were doing, yeah.
But there's only 5 bars and you're off by 3?
I don't get that.
Well, I think the point is I personally, being a conspiracy theorist on this one, I think Abram knew exactly what they were doing. They bumped it up to make AT&T their exclusive provider look a little bit better. And now, I always have 5 bars. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I can be in a bunker 30 yards below the earth, and I've got 5 bars. I can't make any phone calls, but I've got 5 bars.
And then they leave the iPhone in a bar, which is ironic.
Yes.
But I'm bumped.
I still think that was all a plant anyway.
They were leaving them in bars all over L.A., probably. I mean, they wanted people to find them.
Yes.
I don't think so. Ed, your opinion?
Well, Rox, did you get an iPhone 4?
No.
Do you own an iPhone?
No, I do not. Own an iTouch.
iTouch, too.
I own an iTouch, but I have a track phone because I never use my phone unless I travel. Mm-hmm. Which is, track phone is, let's talk about this, is the number one provider for all drug dealers.
I have a track phone, too. It's just a backup phone.
I use the hell out of it. I've never had a dropped call. It's a Nokia phone. I don't even know what number it is. Or, you know, as far as model number. It doesn't have a camera or anything. Dropped calls. The only time I never get service is...
service?
Not from service. is if you're in the lower section
of hell
of the Hyatt, that you can't get phone reception. Anywhere else, I can be anywhere in the world and have reception.
Okay, for us uninitiated, what exactly is a track phone?
It's kind of like a prepaid phone.
It's a prepaid phone. I pay yearly.
Okay.
And then you can pay for your minutes. But here, the nice thing is, I rack up minutes that carry over each year. So
you won't have to buy 1 year?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you do have to buy a service every year. You know, to actually have your phone number. You know, and that's like $99.
You know, our services. We all, we want someone to buy us at least once a year.
That's right. That's correct.
Actually, I didn't pay that. I actually just went and bought a minute card and initiated it.
Yeah, you can do that.
It was like $20 or something like that for 30 days or something like that.
Yeah, but I've had this one phone number for at least 4 or 5 years now.
What phone number is that again?
Area code ****. ****.
5-5-1-2
****.
5-5-1-2-1-2.
But I guess the back to the iPhone 4. I guess there's been question is did they actually rush this phone out?
I think so. I think they were trying to stay. I honestly think they were rushing it to stay on top of the hype from the iPad.
Or even the Android side of it, too.
Or even
the
Android came out even before... That came out before the iPad.
Right.
And then, of course, it got... everything got eclipsed with the iPad, and then the phone came out, so that, too, got eclipsed. A friend of mine's got an Android, and he loves it, and I played around with it. It's a nice little... phone. I mean, if you can get a really high-tech phone as a track phone, I would get something like that.
Well, John, you have the Droid. I think you have the same Droid as I. How have you been liking your Android phone?
I love the Android. In fact, I love it so much that I've started to work on programming for it. So I love the operating system, and I love the. I do love the one thing that I like about the Motorola Droid is that it looks like a techie's phone.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
It's yeah. blocky. It's not flashy. It's not whatever. But it has all the power that you would need. Now, mind you, I do want a Droid X, but
Does it dream
I still have to wait.
Does it dream of electric sheep?
That would be an Android, which is what the operating system is, but it is the actual Droid phone. Which we had this discussion at dinner tonight, which is, seriously, how did Lucas get away with copywriting Droid? Can someone please explain that to me?
The word didn't exist before then.
Yeah.
Lots of words don't exist before people say them, but they don't get to copyright them.
Well, I found it interesting that he went to the effort to copyright the word.
Yes.
I mean, what made him copyright that word? Like, I don't remember. There wasn't – I guess there was the Droid Factory, toy. But beyond that, I don't remember anything. Oh, there's the Droids cartoon, but that's plural, Droids.
Right.
Yeah, when did he copyright it?
That's a good question. That's why we have our friend Wikipedia.
Or is it back in the maybe the early 80s maybe?
Hold on, John. Let me go to Wikipedia first. Then there'll be an answer there for you.
But yeah, the funny thing is as kind of a tech kind of person, other than being a Mac person, the company I really liked and I liked their products was Palm. And
I like my Palm quite a bit.
A friend of mine has the Palm Pixie, and that's a great little phone. Unfortunately, the Palm family has never been. They don't upgrade, and they made their software so that you can't just download a new operating system. And that's why I stopped buying like handsprings, because I like those, because you can add peripherals like a camera, and the iModule camera was great. But you can never upgrade from, and they would call their stuff like Garnet and stuff, and you were stuck with an old operating system where new software was coming out every year, but you couldn't, in order to get the new software, you had to buy a new handspring.
You know what I find works well with a Palm is the iTouch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I like my iTouch. I use that a lot, too. So.
You're supposed to hit with a riff track there, John.
I was doing research for our listeners. In fact, he does own Droid. I haven't found the date yet, but in the Incredibles, if you can believe this, Lucas gets a mention because of the movie's use of the word Omnidroid.
Oh my God!
Lord.
But really? Android existed before the word droid.
So does Marvel have to pay him when they use the Mandroids?
I don't know.
That's ridiculous.
I'm trying to figure out when he.
It's redunculous.
Isn't there a place just for copyrights to look up copyrights?
If only we had a patent attorney available.
Then we should. Then John, you need to come up with software called the Tribble.
Ooh, good thinking.
Looking. Okay. 1977, it looks like it was trademarked in 1977.
Wow.
With the release of Star Wars.
The only thing I can think of that as far as merchandise-wise that was produced with the word droid, at that point would have been the Droid Factory toy set by Kenner.
Well, I mean, in theory, he wrote it, but it's still
But every word, you can't, just when you write a script, every word in the script does not become your property. I mean,
the combination of them does, but anyway.
But yeah, sure. But droid on its own, though, is on its own. I mean, Luke is a word. We're allowed to use it in other stuff. Hell, there was a rapper named Luke Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you can't.
It was what? Donald Trump tried to cop, you're fired, and they wouldn't allow it. He tried to copyright that for himself.
This is going to be a completely foreign reference, except John may catch it. Didn't Pat Riley copyright the term three-peat?
Did he?
I think so.
I know that. I remember hearing they were trying to do it. Yeah,
copywritten.
It was definitely.
Well, I'm doing some more research for our fans.
Either maybe trademarked or copyrighted, but there was definitely some litigation that was attempted for three-peat. I remember that.
Now, Shag, that's a sports term.
Oh, sports. I thought you were talking about menage outside. A trois. Never mind.
In commercial use, the active trademark in force are registered. Yeah, he has a trademark on it. He has a trademark. Now, if only we had an attorney that could tell us the difference between trademark and copyright on the phone.
That joke was just used like
a minute. I know, but I'm reiterating. Hold on. Let's see if we can
get
one.
What do you call the
retard? I think I'm going to copyright that joke.
Let's see if we can get one on the phone. Hold on.
Or maybe I will trademark that joke.
I can think of a few other geeks we should get.
You reached Ron Metzen. I'm not here right now. If you please call back later or...
We got a last name.
You know, just for that, you should actually pronounce... You should announce his phone number to the other two people who are listening to this podcast.
Hey, John.
Yeah, about 1,000.
Probably,
Here's another number he gave me to call. Why don't you dial that number?
I'm not sure what number that is. I can't tell.
Don't dial it if it starts with a 900. Just a tip.
Okay, hold on a second. Here we go.
All right, hold on. I found something. All right. Let's see. A copyright protects... This is from wisegeek.com. A copyright protects original works that fall under the categories of literature, dramatic, musical, artistic, and intellectual. These works may be published or unpublished, and the Copyright Act of 1976 gives the owner exclusive rights to reproduce his or her works in any medium. A copyright protects a form of expression, but not the subject matter of the work. For example, if someone wrote an article about a new car on the market, the text would be copyrighted, preventing someone else from using that particular material. A copyright does not prevent others from writing their own original article about this new car, however, or from using or making the car themselves. A trademark is used to protect a word, symbol, device, or name that is used for the purpose of trading goods. The trademark indicates that the source of goods and distinguishes them from the goods of others. Trademark may also be used to prevent others from using a mark that might be confused with another. Trademarks, however, do not prevent other people or businesses from producing the same product or services under a different mark. So, like, Coca-Cola symbol is a trademark. Droid is
okay,
not.
Okay, so...
Here's the thing is, okay, here's a good example. The word and the logo for the Motorola Droid, okay, the way it's designed, and they use a specific font, that would be a trademark with a copyright.
So it's okay, I think I lost you at the part where you said I got this from WiseGeek. Not that I want you to go back through it.
No.
I'm just saying.
Well, if you're gonna, I'd say we bring in service mark also, because that gets even more confusing.
Okay.
S&M.
I think we should try and get an expert on the phone. Another expert, probably the one that knows how to expert more than experting.
Because Google's not working for us. We need another option.
Yes, Google isn't doing anything for me. Let's see if this will work. Drunk Diamond 7. Drunk Diamond 7.
So is the implication we're
I'm
drunk
just
or
he's
drunk?
Look.
apparently our resident fish is not going to answer the phone.
He's drinking himself.
Like a fish.
He's swimming in a beer.
I'm so very happy.
Oh, I should have left it playing.
Oh, his messages are the best.
The only problem is I don't know if he's going to give up a cell phone, and I don't really have to edit the thing.
Hot pocket.
Oh, and at least we didn't break into the registered, which will throw in a whole new can of beans as well.
Oh, sweetie, are you still talking? Oh, God.
Piss off. Oh, I'm on a Mac, so this thing's kind of wonky. Wait a minute, where did you get that?
He's been playing it all night.
Oh my god.
So anyway, next topic.
All right, move along.
iPad. Thoughts,
iPad.
Comments.
They're
concerns.
Great.
Want.
Why?
Okay,
That's what I'd like to know.
I have a perfect example.
Except for the Netflix app, why?
I went to Baltimore over the weekend, and I did a quick kind of compile a trip together within 4 days. And it's a city I really don't know well. I went once years ago. So the iPad is a great travel
companion.
Yeah.
Does it use Viagra or Cialis?
No, but you know, you can watch Netflix later on.
Is this antenna inside or outside?
You could download maps. You could which I did. Especially getting information for like public transportation where most you can't just go and get like bus maps and stuff anymore. You have to download them. So I actually made like a whole itinerary using my iPad, and mine is not a 3G. It is a Wi-Fi. So there's ways of getting around downloading material that you need for your trip. I made up my own travel log, travel guide as well. There's several programs. There's like, let's see, I used for my trip PDF Reader Pro, which you can download all your PDFs of maps and whatnot and notes. There is a great program called Offline Pages that one website's called Wikitravel, and it's an offshoot of Wikipedia, but it's all about travel. So you can type in a city, and it'll give you the whole, you know, of what you'd spend on getting a, you know, a travel guide from like Barnes & Noble. And what you do is you would go to the page, you download it so that you can view the page when you don't have a Wi-Fi connection. I just got, of course, I got this in the mail today, a camera connector so you can actually download your photos directly to your iPad. And then you.
That's kind of cool.
It is, because if you do a lot of blogging, you could do a quick blog using.
But the app that's used on there, is it iPhoto, though?
Yes.
It is. Oh, that's unfortunate.
Well, but if you use BlogPress for your blogging, it's really good. It'll just pick it up. You can also use like TwitPic and a bunch of others.
What about Google Maps? Does it use Google Maps?
Okay, I had a problem with Google Maps. Well, they're calling it Maps, and I'm guessing it's Google Maps. Yeah, it is Google Maps. That's the app that comes with the iPad.
Okay, I was wondering about that because that came with the iPhone also.
I overshot every destination when I was biking. I rode past the Poe House into the projects at least twice.
Because of Google Maps?
Yeah.
Yeah, this sometimes it's not completely accurate. Yeah, I've had some issues with that because I use Google Maps quite a bit on my Motorola Droid, and sometimes even with the GPS turned on, it has some pretty bad directions.
Yeah, it's like they didn't really hire cartographers for this program, you know. And I would say out of the destinations I used, I probably like overshot at least five that I had to backtrack.
What about as far as actual, I mean, because it's one of the other things I wanted to talk about too, was just the preference of e-readers and what everyone would rather use. Have you used any of the e-readers on that, maybe the iBook app or even
Kindle app? Here's the nice thing is I have iBooks, I have a Kindle. There's a program called FreeBooks. Stanza, hands down, I really like Stanza.
I've heard a lot of good things about Stanza.
And they just came out with the program for the iPad. And I use the Barnes & Noble Reader. Nope. So, and then there's one called Sci-Fi Books. So, as far as reading books, the nice thing about like iBooks and stuff, if you are looking for a book that's in public domain, we'll throw out, you know, something like classic literature, you can find free books instead of spending the money going to Barnes & Noble for a $5 book.
Most of those public domain books are available for free pretty much through anywhere, through Amazon, yeah. Through e-reader. I'm talking about Barnes & Noble's e-reader.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much most of the book apps these days allow you to download the public domain novels.
Question. When you say you've got the Barnes & Noble reader, mm-hmm. You're talking about the Nook. Are you saying you've got the...
No.
She has the application.
That's what I was trying to clear up. Okay, so you're not using multiple physical readers. You're just saying you've got different applications on your iPad. Okay,
yes,
gotcha.
Because all the bookstores... And they're now learning to go, okay, we'll build an app because we know not everybody's going to buy it. My sister bought a Nook and she likes it. And I have friends that have a Sony reader and they like that. So everybody is making sure, you know, they'll get a piece of the pie somehow. Mm-hmm. You know, I've bought books from Amazon and I bought books from Barnes & Noble. And I have bought books from iBooks, so...
Yeah, and see, that's the thing about it, you know, trying to choose one specific device, because I'm actually looking very closely at the Nook, possibly buying the Nook in the next few months. And that's one thing I guess you have to kind of stick with, because each one of these devices pretty much have their own proprietary format, except...
I take that back.
Kindle has its own proprietary format, but like the devices like the Nook... which uses and also the e-reader application all can view PDFs and EPUB files, and I think Kindle has its own proprietary EPUB file. I think so.
I got a good buddy who's got a Nook net, Ed, if you want to talk to him.
Well, actually, I went and looked at it at Barnes & Noble, and I fell in love with it as soon as I held it. And looked at some of the publications that were available to browse. I fell in love with it.
I still feel like the black and white readers. Now, before I preached that they were going to die, but you guys convinced me. I don't think the black and white readers going to die, but I think they're going to be dirt cheap.
You talking about the e-ink?
Yeah. Well, whatever the Nook is, whatever the Kindle is,
e-ink,
the Sony reader, all those. I said before they would go away completely, and you guys convinced me. No, they're not. But they're going to be. No. The cheap ass readers. I mean, I think they're going to be $50 or less by the end of it.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, and this is what I liked about the Stanza application is, and this is why I stayed away from the e-readers and stuff. I did not like the e-ink because if you look at, as a graphic artist, if you look at books themselves, sometimes the ink is not fully black and white. Your pages turn yellow. So I've actually come up with my own color scheme, especially in Stanza, of a dark blue, almost gray, with a light tan background. So it sort of resembles a paperback, which is a little easier on the eyes, which is like the main problem that people had about the iBook application, because everyone was turning it onto the solid black and white, and people would forget that they can slide the brightness down. And they finally added sepia, which it helps out a lot better, and you can still tone it down a little bit. But stands is kind of neat because you can actually change your color scheme.
What's your concern, Shag?
Concern about?
As far as the e-ink is it something you're not preferring or you don't like?
It's just a preference thing. I mean, I've messed around with it a little bit, but I just feel like when the iPad and other tablets, I'm not just specifically talking about the iPad, but other tablets as they come into prominence, I think it's going to become the device of choice because there's so many more applications you can run. There's so much more you can do. The business applications. I mean, part of the reason I want an iPad is I want to use it around the office. I want to go from meeting to meeting with it and be able to look at the documents or the agendas or whatever we're dealing with. It would make life a lot easier.
They have a thing called a laptop for that.
Yeah
but here's the thing. I've actually created a type book, which instead of printing out a ton of paper that shows different fonts in my job, for me to look at, mm-hmm. ideas for fonts, I've actually created one.
Is that, you mean on the iPad?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I created it in InDesign and then saved it as a PDF.
And I remember one of
the nice thing is I put it on a high res PDF so that when I enlarge,
mm-hmm.
you don't get a lot of the pixelation on the font.
Perfect. I remember.
But I see what you're coming from, Shag. I mean, being able to have pretty much an all-in-one device would be very convenient, like the iPad, to be able to do stuff like that, along with being able to read these e-books and stuff like that. I mean, I wouldn't mind having an iPad. To tell you the truth, I just can't see paying the $500 ridiculous dollars to.
The thing is the price the price will drop.
Yeah,
I mean,
can you see yourself spending $500 silly dollars?
Well, the price will drop for the iPad, but then there's going to be competitors on the market. You know, just like the Android, which John is insistently playing with, won't stop. There's going to be a competitor that
That's not my Android. but this is the droid you're looking for.
Right.
Oh yeah, there's definitely going to be Android tablets. I mean, there already is, but they just haven't. They haven't perfected them yet.
Right. Just by way of example, there's going to be another, another something out there in color. And I think color plays a big role in it, too. Because, I mean, for example, me, I part of the reason I want it is I want to read comic books. I want to read comic books digitally. I want to move on and get into the digital age of that. I also want to be able to blog on the go. I want to do all this stuff, but I want mm-hmm. it in one place. And...
how is your netbook handling all that, though? I mean, some of those things you're mentioning, you can actually kind of do on your netbook now.
Oh, yeah, I can. I've tried the e-read on the netbook before, but the screen just isn't conducive for it. It's just not comfortable to read on the e-book.
I've been there, too. I mean, I downloaded the e-reader app for my netbook and actually read a full book in that format.
Did you turn it sideways
after
a
while? Just because of the way the screen is, it kind of worked on my eyes a little bit, and that's why I'm kind of leaning towards the e-ink, because I think it would actually be a little bit easier to read, in my opinion.
One of the things I didn't mean to interrupt you, Ed. Go ahead and finish.
Just in comparison, the e-ink to the type of screen that the iPad and these other netbooks are, I think for me that would seem a little bit better on the e-ink side.
You make a good point, because the e-ink side, for those of you who don't know, I mean, the iPad is lit. The white page is light, so you've got more light hitting your eyes than you do off like a book. Whereas the e-ink is not the case, really. You really are just picking up the black. So the e-ink is definitely going to be easier on the eyes. You're definitely going to get less eye strain from that. But
there is ways around it on the iPad. There are
like you were talking about with the sepia and all that? Or something.
Yeah, and decreasing the amount of brightness to your screen.
Okay.
So there's ways of doing it, because I read at night all the time. But getting back, because I thought of getting a netbook as well. And since I was away, and I actually, this was like the first test I used out in the, out in the real world, as far as traveling, it fits really well in a backpack. The type of case I made is actually from an old book. So it's camouflaged even further than, just putting a case on it. So you can actually, I actually had it out, looking at maps and stuff. And nobody bothered me with it. It's easier because you just press a button and it pops up. You know, and your battery life is like 11 hours.
Yeah.
Whereas you put a laptop to sleep, you know, you'll still get, you know, your 6-7 hours. But, you know, what is the lightest netbook is, you know, what is the lightest netbook? Does anyone know?
It's like less than 3 pounds, I think.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Where this one, it's probably got the weight of, like, you know, the hard copy of maybe Lord of the Rings. I don't know. but I was able to cart it around without any problem.
To answer your question, I love my netbook. I mean, I use it for blogging. I use it for, you know, emailing, all that stuff. And I use it for web surfing. I just don't use it for reading too much just because of the screen size.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't read.
And I can't read. True. That's why I like pictures.
And, Serv, what are your thoughts on I know we've discussed this on the list, Serv, before, but being the resident Luddite here, I was wondering what you thought about that.
I don't see any value in any reader. I don't see why I want to spend $150 on the device and then pay nearly full price for new books that I could get in paper or hardback for a couple dollars more maybe than I would pay for the electronic version, and I don't have the initial outlay on an e-reader. I don't see what the advantage is.
Those hard copy books are going to start costing a lot more pretty soon.
And not only that, I mean, for me, space is becoming, I mean, it has been an issue for a while. And that's one of these tasks that I've been trying to do is just trying to get rid of physical media and actually relieve some space and where I live. And I think that's one of the things that help out is having an e-reader so I can get rid of most of these books that are sitting on my shelf.
Just so you know, according to Hawking's, space is expanding, so you should be okay.
Yeah, and also, I heard 2012's, I watched the NASA thing, it's bogus. You shouldn't worry about space. We're going to be okay yet.
The thing is, you know, even as a reader myself, you know, I have a library. I still buy books. So it's not like it's the end all of paper, you know, of books in general. But yeah, the price of books, you know, a paperback used to be, you know, $1.99. Now you're looking at like
the price of gas used to be $1. I mean, shit, everything.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's what freaked me out. I bought a softback book a little over a month ago. The first one I bought in like a year, and I was shocked that it was like $13.
It was like
bucks.
$13.
What?
Yeah.
A soft cover was $13. Was it like trade dimensions though?
What?
Like the little tiny softbacks I've seen are like $8, and then what they call the trade format, which is a little larger, are like $14.
Yeah.
I just bought a new paperback book that literally just came out this week, and it's $7.99.
Yep. Hey guys, John's got a joke for us. I think we're gonna laugh.
No,
ahead,
I wasn't
John.
Actually a joke. I was just trying to transition. Speaking of which, since we're already on the topic of books, I know that we want to talk a little bit about the new Monsterlit books that are out. So, but what was the book that you bought, Serv, since we cut you off?
I just bought
Dick and Jane.
Exactly.
What was it you bought?
That's
I'm sorry.
What I bought. The Charlie Brown textbook.
All right.
I bought the new R.A. Salvatore. It just came out in paperback, The Ghost King, it's Dungeons and Dragons based fantasy.
You're such a nerd.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're such a nerd.
I prefer the term geek. I'm not smart enough to be a nerd.
And you got the social skills. So are his books any good still, or is he just turning into a hack?
I still enjoy them. I really do. For a while there, I was like, I don't know. Am I even going to still have any interest in some of this? Because I stopped reading them for about, I don't know, a couple years, and then I caught up, and I caught up in no time. So I really did enjoy and still enjoy. I've been reading his stuff since high school. So.
And for those of you at home, just so you know why Serv stopped reading them, because he killed Chewbacca. Surf still hasn't forgiven him. R.A. Salvatore killed Chewbacca.
Dr. Jen just showed me her fashion glasses that only have one eye lens in them. It looks like someone punched her in the eye.
It's like an anti-eye patch. I heard that. I want an anti-eye patch.
So what are we supposed to be talking about, John?
I don't know.
Oh, it's the influx of monster fit. Since we have to make a new genre, you know, it just reminded me of, like, chick lit, but now it's monster lit.
Well, there's paranormal romance. Paranormal romance is like all the Twilight and stuff.
Right, but the monster lit, or what they're calling monster lit, are all the books based on classics.
Oh, Pride and Prejudice and Sea Monsters?
Such as Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. The Dawn of the Dreadfuls is, I think, the sequel.
Vampire Hunter, that one's a little different though.
That I think they played off as a biography.
Vampires, not zombies. So clearly, you know,
it's by the same author who did the Pride and Prejudice Zombies.
Right, and then there's
Little Women and Werewolves.
Werewolves, yeah, I think so. I saw that.
Is this all by like one guy or one publishing house, or is this?
It's one publishing house called Quirk Classics.
Okay.
And I read the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and I've also read Pride and Prejudice.
Sensibility and Sea Monsters.
Huckleberry and Sea.
I have that one. It's on my list, and I haven't really read it because I didn't like his writing style.
Does this mean we're going to get something like Bram Stoker's Dracula's Housewives?
No, because the latest one is Android Karenina, based on Anna Karenina.
Oh, Lord.
By Tolstoy. So I'm guessing a lot of the guy that wrote this kind of, I don't know if he like really read Pride and Prejudice or picked up the Cliff Notes and sort of just inserted stuff kind of willy-nilly like. But
he said inserted stuff willy-nilly like.
Yeah. Well, his writing style really didn't reflect on the writing style of Pride and Prejudice. I didn't think so.
There's a film in development for one of these, right?
Yes.
Pride and Prejudice and
Zombies?
Zombies.
And Zombies, yeah. So,
what about Huckleberry Skin? Oh, wait, that's not the movie. Never mind. That's a completely different genre. Go ahead.
That's in there with Batman XXX, I think.
Well, I don't know. Has anyone read any of the books at all?
Surf can't read.
Okay. I'm looking. I want to read that Abraham Lincoln. That's on my list, my wish list.
Oh yeah, I do too. That one, it's sort of on a like as a biography, so you have a little bit more free range. You know, instead of sticking to an actual book that most people have known, such as Pride and Prejudice, and you're kind of in this narrow field, whereas you look at Abraham Lincoln's history, it's kind of free range of, you know, what kind of cabin did he grow up in? So there's a lot of room for interpretation.
Wasn't there like a Queen Elizabeth vampire killer also? I think this would have been a year or two ago. It was like a British queen.
No, that's Freddie Mercury.
Oh, right. I get so confused easily.
Freddie Mercury was a vampire hunter?
And a queen.
I thought that was Buffy.
Faith.
Yeah.
So, John, tell us how you liked that, The Wizarding World.
Yeah.
I really want to hear about that.
Oh, hold on. Let me transition. Yeah, so I went to Islands of Adventure and saw The Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And
Henry Potter?
It was
Hank.
Cool.
Beatrix Potter Land.
Just cool.
It was crowded, busy.
Oh yeah.
Small. You know, one of the things I
they're short. They're kids. They're tiny.
One of the things that I talked about with various people, and including on different podcasts, was that they only. It's really only an alley. I mean, it's.
Is it diagonal?
No.
Okay.
Diagonal alley. It's diagonal alley. Actually, it's for us nerds, us geeks. It's actually supposed to be Hogsmeade. However. Oliver's wand shop is there. Ollivander's wand shop is there, which is not.
I love it. It's Henry Potter on Diagonal Alley going to Oliver's wand shop. We can completely rip her books off. All we have to do is just change like tiny little things.
Yep.
We'll have our own monster.
We've got like 2/3 of the book done already. So.
Well, I mean,
Harry Potter and the Hendersons. That's what we'll call it.
I mean, if Twilight can rip off every soap opera there is, why can't?
Okay. So it's supposed to be Hogsmeade near the school, but it's actually Diagon Alley. Well,
it's
right?
got elements of everything.
It's got
like.
Elements because it's got the Three Broomsticks, which is at
Diagon Alley.
No, three
Broomsticks is Hogsmeade. But does it have what about Zonko's Joke Shop?
Is there?
But that's in
Diagon
Alley. Right.
But there's a candy store, though.
You know, J.K., who signed off on everything, doesn't know where anything is in her wizarding world.
Since I did my review on Weekend Justice, I've done some
good
more.
Good Lord, do you have to plug them all the effing time?
I did some more research.
I mean, seriously, are they paying you?
I did more research. I'm just going to plow right through you.
Like you did last night.
That's the first time.
Well, you are in the closet.
Plowing is good. What do you call it? The original.
Plowing?
Originally,
you can finish any of those sentences you started.
Originally,
feel free.
Disney had the rights. She was in negotiation with Disney to do a whole property.
You know, that would make sense because Harry Potter has been up ABC's ass pretty much since the start. I mean, there's been a real connection between ABC Family and the Harry Potter films for a while, and it would just make sense that it would be a Disney-connected property.
It's a Warner Brothers-produced film, though, isn't it? Yes, it is.
Yes.
I just watched it the other day. Which would be Universal.
But there has seemed to have been...
Yeah, you're right.
A connection ABC. To Disney. That's interesting.
But apparently it broke down because she wanted a lot more control than Disney is willing to give. One of the things she wanted to actually put the person through the entire park as though they were going through the years of the school and you know being initiated into the school and yada, yada, yada.
I mean, they should totally have the boats you ride. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, so she wanted to do the whole thing. And Disney, of course, it's one thing that my wife said is that they could make a whole park out of her world.
Oh yeah,
and easily.
I mean, the one thing that is, I don't know. I guess I don't know if you need permission from her to add on to that world or not.
Sounds like she's
probably.
Got complete control.
Oh yeah, she because
well, I mean, I'm talking about writing it.
Copyright.
Well, the thing is, like, because. Yeah, Disney does know the science of shuttling people in and out,
which
so they
Universal
probably knew it was feasibly impossible to do.
When Universal first opened, they had crowd management down better than Disney at the time.
Really?
When they first opened, they had crowd. I mean, they were the first
that
ones.
Disney stole everything that Universal did and has made has really streamlined.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, but yeah, Universal had the TVs and while you waited in line, they had the serpentine lines down better. They had everything down better at first, but that was years ago. I mean, John, you were telling us at dinner how you feel like Universal's run down.
Yeah, it has the feel of a park in its decline. That it's not being kept up. That there are things that are broken that should not be broken. That you would never see. A Disney with a Disney park with TVs that were only half working.
I mean, you mentioned like employees that had like threadbare uniforms and just looked bad.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's like they've been wearing them and they just keep washing them and they're just worn down. And And it has a feeling of a park in decline, in serious need of something. And the funny thing is, with the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and I did mention this on Weekend Justice over at needcoffee.com, there is actually lines to get into the area. You have to wait about 45 minutes just to get into the area at various points in the day.
Can you bypass the area and get around to, what, Toon Lagoon or whatever, Jurassic Park Land or whatever's next? Can you bypass?
You can go around it, but you can't. The way that they have it set up is that there's a bridge that kind of cuts off from, they built a new bridge that goes from Lost Continent over to Jurassic Park, which is what's right next to it.
So you can go around.
And which kind
of, so they kept Lost Continent? Is that? I thought they were taking over that.
They kept 75% of Lost Continent is still there.
Oh, okay.
I disagree. From what you described to me, it only sounds like 15-20%. They kept Atlantis and the shops, right?
It's a big lead up to get to the.
But the dragon and the unicorn ride, those were major elements.
Remember those? But those were right next to each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
But they
and
were,
the alley runs right in front of it, and that's it.
So I understood that they actually basically revamped those rides, the dueling dragons.
Is it about the size of like England at Epcot?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, because that's what I'm envisioning.
Yeah, it's about the size of that. It's not very big.
Okay.
In fact, actually, there are lines. There's a 2-hour line to get into a gift shop there.
Oh, God.
To buy your wand.
But that's
so to wait probably. 2 hours to get in?
It's only going to be this way for a while. I mean, it's the shine's going to fade. In fact,
I think the shine is going to fade the minute the last film is done.
You know, she's got a good point. I mean, think about Star Wars. Remember, Star Wars was huge. I'm talking about the original trilogy. When Return of the Jedi came out, it was over.
Done.
Star Wars was just simply over.
And the thing is Lucas made most of his money, other than doing the tech stuff, is he clung to the Mattel toys.
Kenner.
They were Kenner.
Nerd.
Or Kenner, yeah.
You're so embarrassing, yeah. Rocks. Now, John.
Yeah,
what?
Jumping fast enough to answer that.
Let's let John finish his review, because I've actually got some philosophical points about the longevity of the park.
First of all, I would disagree with you that the longevity of the park is fading.
Well, that's
because kids coming up every day.
I want to hear about Butterbeer. I want to hear about all that.
Butterbeer is good. Tastes like cross between. cream soda, root beer, and some other
butterscotch.
Magic. Thank you.
Okay. Pumpkin. That's what I imagined it.
Pumpkin juice tastes like apple juice. If actually, go grab that. Grab that off there.
I can't get out of the closet, John.
It's right next to you in the closet. I stuck it.
It's
up your
dark bottle. In here.
It's a bottle. That's go get it. Read the ingredients on the back. I find this hilarious.
This is pumpkin juice.
Yeah, I have the bottle.
Okay, I'm in the closet. I have freed my hands from the restraints, and I'm using the light from my cell phone to read this. Ingredients, water.
If you have a cell phone, why don't you call for help?
You broke my fingers. Do you want to rub it in?
I want to rub your fingers in something.
Water, apple juice, concentrate, pumpkin puree, apricot puree, sugar, natural and artificial flavors, citric acid, jizz, acetylene, potassium, sodium benzoate.
So,
aren't you clever?
So the important part of that is the primary ingredient is apple juice.
And I think it was water.
The real question was it Hermione's or Harry's? But anyway.
So actually, listening to the ingredients, I guess you can expect to spend a lot of time in the bathroom thereafter.
$6.50 for that, my friend.
And you waited? Did you wait 2 hours to get it?
Oh, no. Okay, so here's the gimmick. If you stay at the park, if you stay at the hotel, you actually get to go in an hour early. So I got to go in at... Well, I actually went there 3 times over the course of the 3 days I was there. The first night we got there, late at night. This is a pro tip for you. Go after 8 o'clock and the line dies down, so it's only an hour and a half wait to get into the... Well, hey, at various points... Up to 3 hours to ride the Forbidden Journey, which is a fun ride, but it is very scary and probably not for kids under age 13.
Or John.
Or me. I was scared. I peed a little. Just now, thinking about it. there's that.
How's Zonko's Joke Shop?
Zonko's Joke Shop, here's the thing. All of the gift shops are about as big as my studio here.
Oh, well, you know, look around, folks. You see what the size we mean.
Yes.
It's about 8 by 8, or, well, actually, this is about a 10 by 12 room. Maybe this room is actually bigger than
for
that.
Several, anyway. For several hundred people to go through.
Yeah, and so that's why you wind up with these lines. But the line specifically to buy wands is what's ridiculous. It's a... what's the name of the place where they buy the uniforms?
Uh-huh.
Dervish and Bangs?
Yeah.
Dervish and Blots?
Dervish and Blots.
Blots.
Okay. That's a bookstore.
So, wait, they sell uniforms there, too? Bookstore.
They sell uniforms there. Official
dear,
uniforms.
Dear Lord.
They sell official...
Okay. What's a wand? What's
Target of Harry,
30 bucks.
Henry Potter's world.
Wait, a wand costs how much?
30 bucks.
And is it just a piece of wood?
No,
it isn't. I got your wood right here. Vamp for a second, and I will go get what you... I'll give it to you.
Bum, bum, ba-da-da. Ba-doo-ba-doo. Bum, ba-da-da. So anyway, when John gets back, one of the things I want to talk about is how long is this part going to last? How long is it... Like, they're serving pumpkin juice currently, and they're serving butterbeer currently, which they're producing specifically for this place. It's not sold anywhere else that I know of in the world. And how long until they... You know, the popularity or it starts to die down as Universal lets things get run down. Do they say, you know, we keep producing this pumpkin juice and it's costing us, you know, X bunch of dollars, where instead we could just serve Coke?
I think 5 years after the last film.
So, okay, 5 years after the last film. Gotcha.
Only because who's buying, you know, what parent is buying the Harry Potter? What new parent is buying the Harry Potter books? You know, we don't know. And there's speculation that she might write in the next, I don't know, 10 years, another Harry Potter book. For those who are now older. You know.
Well, last three books were for the same audience that she wrote the first three books for.
Right.
Okay. This just in, this wand is pretty fucking cool. Actually, he paid 30 G for it, or $30. And it's
grand.
It's got some serious weight to it, guys. I mean, this is pretty cool.
What does it do?
Absolutely nothing. But
pokes people in the eye.
It's pretty. It looks just like a prop from the movie. It comes in the box like it does in the movie. In fact, it says on the side, Neville Longbottom. And it's got some sort of code on here that I think sounds familiar from the books. This is actually kind of a cool little prop. I like it. I'm actually doing the little Levioso, and it's not working. I'm getting kind of pissed. I'm trying to raise one of John's monitors, and it's not happening. But, oh, John's bringing up the other three wands he bought. He's into it for $90, folks. He's
wow.
A sucker.
Is that a euphemism, trying to bring up John's monitor?
Even the cover's heavy. Professor who?
McGonagall.
Oh, McGonagall. Professor McGonagall's wand is bigger because size matters. Did this one cost more? Okay. And it's... Oh,
that
yeah,
batteries?
Wow.
Vibrate?
Okay, John, what are the codes?
Well, yeah, you know, she was unmarried and everything. Hers wouldn't have batteries.
Okay, folks, remember those clever codes I was telling you about on the side of the wand? Yeah, that's actually trademark and copyright. Over to you, Rox, on what that means. But these are pretty cool. If nothing else, it's worth it for the box for $30. That's pretty cool.
He said all right, the box
so,
was worth $30.
Pumpkin juice, John, who's not... Could you sit at the damn microphone? Would you do this at Weekend Justice? Do you get up and walk around?
Oh, yeah, he does.
All right, so...
Actually, yeah.
So, okay, pumpkin juice, we've heard about, butterbeer, Zonko's, okay, Ollivander's, was it cool? Was there, like, a freaky John?
I could not get in because there is a, it's Ollivander's.
How'd you buy the wand?
Yeah.
Okay, you buy the wand at Dervish and Bangs or whatever it is.
Why don't you buy it at Ollivander's?
Oh, wait a minute, isn't Ollivander's part of a ride type of thing?
Ollivander's is a show.
Okay.
20 people at a time.
Oh, wow.
Crap.
And the show takes about 10 minutes.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it takes about 5 to 10 minutes, and it's where they actually choose
your wand.
A person get eight out of one of those out of the 20 will actually get to have the wand choose them. Oh, and apparently it's well worth the wait.
Huh.
But I wasn't willing to wait 2 hours.
Is it like a John Hurt lookalike kind of thing, or is it more like a spooky Universal employee?
I don't know. It's it is that all this is one other thing I didn't mention. On Weekend Justice over in...
Jesus fucking Christ.
I was reading onceuponageek.com.
Awesome. And,
no.
Was it, or was it on firestormfan.com?
They transported all of, and this is no joke, all the British employees now work in Wizarding World of Harry. I'm not joking. Every single one of them, I looked at their tag. They were just faking English accents. There's still some Americans there, but they were all from England.
I just like the idea of like this brute squad going around to like Seusland going, "You're being conscripted for Harry Potter land." Oi, but I wanted to do thing one and thing two.
So, all right.
What about what other shops?
There's Honeydukes.
Honeydukes.
This candy shop.
That's the candy shop. So what new stuff, or do they just rehash?
They have the chocolate frog.
Crappy.
They have.
Okay.
We've seen the chocolate frogs in like Barnes and Noble.
Yeah.
We've seen the Bernie's box of whatever.
Every flavor bean.
Anything else?
What else?
Do they have like the some of
they have peppermint frogs,
candy,
Weasley's whizzes, whiz bangs, or whatever.
Peppermint frogs. They have. I don't know. It's basically they're really small shops. I mean, they are like, and I've said this to other people. It's like the shops that are actually in old England. They are very small, tight shops. They did an excellent job of capturing the feel of being there, except for the fact that it was 98 freaking degrees outside and there's snow on the roofs. So
everybody has bad teeth.
Yes, in fact, when you come in, they actually take little pliers and they pull your teeth in different directions.
Okay.
Yeah.
And stain them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they do other things that are stereotypical of people from England.
Right. Absolutely.
Like bland food. Actually, by the way...
Hey, here's a little tip for those of you. You can always recognize an English person in Florida because they are pasty white and bright red at the same time.
True statement.
So the three broomsticks.
Oh yeah.
It's a line to get in there to eat there too, but they actually do something interesting McDonald's doesn't do this either, but Disney doesn't do, which is they actually seat you. You go through a typical thing where you go to different people to get to order your food.
Okay.
But you get your food first.
Yeah. A cafeteria.
Right. But they actually do not let people in until there is a seat available. So it's not like a bunch of people lumbering around waiting to. But here's a pro tip. If you go, let them know that you're willing to sit on the patio.
Mm.
Because first of all, their food there is actually reasonably priced. It was actually the cheapest meal we had. And you get a lot.
What?
And it's actually good food. I mean, because they can't keep up with all the people, so they're constantly making it fresh.
Chicken finger.
It's not chicken finger. Do they have chicken fingers?
Usually it's chicken fingers, french fries, fish.
No. Yeah. They have like the... We talked about this last night.
On Weekend Justice?
They have... what's it called? No. Pasties?
Pasties. Pasties.
They're meat pies.
Right. They have pasties. They have... a chicken, nice, well cooked. It wasn't dry at all. It was well cooked chicken.
Okay.
They have Cornish hen. They have
wow.
They have lots of really authentic. Again, she signed off on everything.
Yeah.
Authentic. It's also, by the way, if you eat there, that's best place to buy your butterbeer, because the butterbeer truck out in the there's a line to get to the butterbeer truck, which is in the middle, which is just a little kiosk, and it's like a 30-minute wait in the heat to get to that.
Oh my God.
As well just have it with your dinner. But no, it was actually a very enjoyable meal. There's a lot of food, corn on the cob, the whole nine yards. But if you sit on the patio actually has a beautiful view, and it's kind of like behind the three broomsticks. You get to see what's inside the three broomsticks, blah, 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 whatever. But you can get a seat a lot quicker, and it's kind of like down an alley a little bit. It looks like it's down an alley, but it's also got a nice view of Hogwarts.
Okay.
You can see Hogwarts from there because it's up on the mountain, and of the rest of the park. So it's actually a good tip.
All right, tell us about Hagrid's Cabin, and then tell us about...
The end of this podcast?
No, not at all. I want to hear about Hagrid's Cabin. We want to hear about Hogwarts. What else is there? What else are there? And we want to hear about the rides.
The dragon ride is the same ride it's always been.
Okay, it's just different. Dueling
Dragons. It's now called
different theme.
What are they again, sir?
It was the
Dueling
Dragon.
Fireball and the Hungarian Norwegian.
So it's named after the dragons and Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, they used to be Fire and Ice. It's called now called the Dragons. It used to be called Dueling Dragons. Now it's called Dragon Challenge. And it used to be Fire and Ice. Used to be the dragons. Now they're the Hungarian Fire. I mean, the Hungarian Horntail and the Chinese Fireball.
Okay.
So
it's not any different.
They've redecorated everything, but it's still.
Okay. What about the Hippogriff ride?
We used to be the Flying Dragon or the Flying Unicorn. Now it's Hippogriff. It's the same thing.
Tracks the same.
The cart looks like.
This is the kids' ride, by the way, folks.
The story is.
Yeah, but that's a cute roller coaster. I was on that.
Oh, it's great. It's really great for kids. My kids loved it.
The story behind it is that Hagrid didn't want to. He tried to let some other kids ride a Hippogriff, but only one could ever do it, and the other one got in trouble. So he decided to create a basket Hippogriff. And you train on the basket because it looks like they look like baskets now. And so then you go by Buckbeak and you're supposed to bow as you're going up the little tram thing.
What happens if you don't bow?
Buckbeak attacks you, carries you off, and then eats you.
Holy shit.
All right.
I saw it happen to two kids. It was very sad.
I mean, do they at least have like an instructional video beforehand?
No, there's no actual video, but you have to listen to what Hagrid is instructing you over the PA. You do go by
hearing
Hagrid's...
the children scream.
Yeah.
Oh, it is funny. You do hear Fang. Fang's inside the house. Inside, yeah, you hear him.
So you don't go in Hagrid's cabin?
No. Hagrid's cabin is just there.
Are there people dressed up as like Hagrid walking around the park?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
No, they didn't try to do any of that stuff. I think it'd be too much, really.
Okay. So what's left is Hogwarts in the ride, I guess?
Is
Hogwarts part of the ride, or do you go into Hogwarts?
You go into Hogwarts to get to the ride.
Okay.
And they do a nice job of decorating it. And there's lots of cool special effects in the as you're waiting, but it's a long wait to get into the castle, into the school. I really wish they would have made it bigger, and had less of it outside, because you're waiting in line outside for a very long time.
Gotcha.
And then kind of incorporated more of it, but then the air conditioning costs would have been enormous too. So.
So I hear technologically, like when Islands of Adventure opened, Spider-Man was like cutting edge technology wise. Like the Discovery Channel would do specials on how technologically advanced the Spider-Man ride is. I hear the Harry Potter ride is that technologically advanced nowadays.
Thanks for teeing that up for me there, Shag.
Knock that out of the park, John.
Yes, in fact, there have been stories coming out that Disney has considered this new ride, the Forbidden Journey, the gold standard for rides now. Which is surprising. You know who's in charge of Disney for rides now, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. But I'll let you tell them, though.
Hello. John Lasseter is.
Oh, really? The John Lasseter?
Yes.
Wow.
He's in charge of parks now.
That's amazing. I didn't realize it was John Lasseter.
You know who?
Who in the fuck is John Lasseter?
He's the guy.
What? I heard Serve say.
Serve knows, so that should be a little disappointing to
what
you.
What did he say?
He said Toy Story, but he is actually the head of Pixar.
He directed Toy Story.
He's the head of Pixar.
Oh, yeah. That John Lasseter.
He is the guy. He is John Lasseter is the guy at Pixar, but now he is in charge of amusement parks at Disney.
That's pretty cool.
He's in charge of
your face, Shag.
He's in charge of my mama. He's in charge of vision and. All the new visions that are going on now, including with Fantasyland. Is it Fantasyland?
Is that redoing? Yeah, it is. I can't wait to see his Marvel Land they're going to build.
Yes, that's inevitable.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we want to. Was there anything else we wanted to cover?
Sure. Talk about what we want.
Wrap it up.
It was a potluck. All right, so let's go ahead and start to wrap this bad boy up. To our geek in our geek review. Shag, got anything you want to add? Oh, you want to talk about the Wonder Woman costume real quick, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that for just a second. You know, fans have been exploding about the new Wonder Woman costume. It's interesting the amount of news coverage it's got. We're talking CNN. You know, it's everywhere. I mean, there's people around that they talk about radio stations in the morning. And most hardcore geeks are like, it sucks, it sucks, it sucks. But a lot of people have come out saying they like it. I mean, Linda Carter likes it. Whoever that... guy from Project Runway has actually come out saying it's a good costume. I'm okay with it. I think it also gets them that much closer to making a live action film.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
It's
more of like a jacket ensemble.
Yeah.
It's less
the only thing some of the Wonder Woman fans that I know, they didn't like the spurs.
I hear a lot about the spurs, I hear a lot about the jacket, I hear a lot about the choker.
The jacket's fine. I like the jacket.
There's a lot of bitching about it. They call it the biker jacket. And there's a whole lot of bitching about the choker. Basically, what most people are saying is, like, she looks great for a night out clubbing in 1996, is what I hear a lot of. But I kind of went to clubs. Yeah, I went to clubs in the 90s, so I'm really okay with this.
Did she look more appropriate when she was dressed?
Right. In the Star Spangled Bikini? Exactly. Or not bathing suit, I guess. Yeah, I think it's a good. Now, that's Jim Lee's design. Does that not mean someone's not going to tweak it a little more as we go to make the fans a little happier? Maybe they lose the choker, or maybe the jacket becomes a little more functional. Or
now, when you say Jim Lee's design, what does that mean?
DC asked Jim Lee to do the initial design, so he did the. Jim Lee's a star pencil. Okay, he did the initial designs for the Wonder Woman costume, and then he just passed it on to the Wonder Woman creators. Now they're drawing it.
Okay. Ed, you got anything you want to add?
Drink milk.
Awesome. Good advice. So we were talking about Wonder Woman, and then you got to drink milk.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
You know where my mind was.
That'd be a good moment for one of those little sound bites you like so much. Jeez.
Hold on.
He's too busy talking about Weekend Justice to get the sound bites right.
Oh, here we go.
That's onceuponageek.com.
Rox, anything you want to add?
Yeah, Shag, if you really DC has come up with their own Comixology app reader that you could start getting like Sandman electronically.
I heard about that.
And Walking Dead.
Ooh.
They give you the first issue free, like crack.
Yeah, DC just launched, finally. DC's had their head up their ass, quite frankly, about digital comics. I mean, Marvel's had their own online digital comic subscription for a couple of years now and have done very well with it. I mean, most of Marvel's back catalog is now digital. DC's just now getting started. Way behind the gun, but they finally announced a digital plan. So, yeah, Comixology, they're doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, Neil Gaiman actually mentioned about, you know, that people can start getting Sandman electronically.
You know, if one were to look, or one would want to find things, where would someone find files that were, I don't know, CDRs? Anybody?
Comic Book Resources?
What? I mean, like the... Anyway, sir, what would you like to add?
What?
Nothing, never mind.
Ron understood.
Sir?
I would just like to remind people that at present, it's 57 days until DragonCon.
Woohoo! Woo!
Hey, sir, where are you going tomorrow?
I'm going to California.
More specific.
I'm going to go and pan for some gold in Northern California.
Name of the city?
Golden City, California.
Jesus Christ.
Cupertino, California, home of Apple computers. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it or not.
I thought you were going to say San Francisco, and then those of us would go, San Francisco, I was born there. Oh, well.
I thought I was going to say Central City, but...
Keystone, baby. Keystone represent.
You're a geek. Who haven't we hit? We hit me. Just me.
You've hit me several times. Let me out of the damn closet.
What I would like to suggest is everyone head over to Listserv. Listserv.theuniquegeek.com will get you there. It does redirect, believe it or not. Otherwise, you can just head over to The Unique Geek and click on the big green and black button that's on the upper right-hand corner. Or you can scroll down to the light blue, you know, baby blue, black and white button that says Once Upon a Geek. Click that, and you'll also find where Shag's at.
Yeah, if you visit onceuponageek.com, there is a link to the Unique Geek listserv there.
But head over to theuniquegeek.com and let us know what you think of these podcasts, what you'd like to hear us talk about. If you'd like to hear us shut up, that would be nice, too, to hear.
I think they would have already hit stop on their iPod by now for that.
Yeah, some people are masochists.
Serve.
Remember, you can never torture a masochist. So, until next time, folks, this is when we say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night, John Boy.
Bye-bye.
Good night, Sue Ellen.
Bye-bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. Visit us at theuniquegeek.com. Call our comment line at 813-579-3542.
Actually, it's 813. that's an old bumper. Call our comment line.
Ideas and tribbles via email to thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Join our discussion group by going to groups.google.com/groups/theuniquegeek. This podcast is distributed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike license.
Actually, the comment line, because it's an old bumper, is 813-3210-TUG, T-U-G, or 813-3210-884. Good night, folks.
The cucumbers and honeysuckle, not real sure. I do have some honeysuckle hand soap that I use in my bathroom.
Gay.
Podcast?
Of course it is. Dr. Jen's like, is this a metrosexual podcast?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Here, I'll call her, too.
Well, she'd be more interesting than this loser.
Way more interesting.
Oh, rocks.
What? What did I come in on?
People in Tampa just pee, according to Serve.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope so.
And John has barricaded me in a closet that smells like cucumbers and honeysuckle.
Wow. Okay. Do you have an escape route?
I think he put a chair under the doorknob outside the closet door.
Oh, all you have to do is are the...
Of course you know how to get out of this.
Are the hinges on the inside of the door or the outside?
I don't know. It's dark and it smells like pee in here.
Feel around. Feel around the door.
I'm scared.
Hello.
You're screwed.
Because Ed showed up or because of the other reason?
The Drew Johnson that we thought might be the spam bot replied.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, I posted his stuff.
Yep. Yeah, we made
until he sends us a... You know, I found a really cool way to make blah, blah, blah.
That's what I was telling John, is that the last guy responded for like a whole week before he pulled that. Because you notice he still didn't say how he found us.
Yeah.
But we did check. He's not been posting on any other boards, so he could be legit.
What, having problems with spam bots?
From time to time. They're no. They're becoming more clever.
Holy cow.
If I use my cell phone, it lights up the room.
Holy cow.
I can get Viagra for 94% off.
Get the funk out.
But the problem is you want 100% on.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Too bad John's too slow with the sound effect.
Well, I was busy doing something else.
Oh, but then I can go to this other site and get 97% off original price for luxury watches.
Canadian pharmacies, baby.
How much is 94% off? Does that mean it's still like $8 a pill?
97% off. And that's that watch is 94% off is the Viagra.
You've got mail.
Viagra.
Is all this in your email?
This is in my spam folder.
It's on buzz.
I have... Oh, 71% of women are disappointed by the size of their lover's penis.
100% of Serve's lovers are disappointed by his penis.
So the words lover's penis is all one word, so I think that might be like a proper name, like size of their lover's penis. Or maybe that's a new body part, a lover's penis, as opposed to just a penis. I don't know.
It's probably a way to try and sneak past the spam filter, actually.
Hey, 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 90 Viagra pills times 25 milligrams, $127.80, or $1.42 a pill. There you go, Rocks.
Woo, okay.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So they've done something 40%. Different.
They've done something different where?
Google Wave. Oh. I've created a public wave and I can't link to it anymore. I can't send out the link.
Well, then just hang up, Ed. Just get off.
I'm getting off right now.
Well, then leave, Shag. Just get off. Goodbye. Wow. You're pretty special.
The two.
It's going to be one of those nights.
Well,
in their eternal struggle.
When John locked me in the closet without access to the computer, I said, I'm not going to be able to see Google Wave, John. Ed's going to be mad.
If you want, you can move the microphone over to there.
No, I'm fine. No. It's been made clear. I am to stay in the closet, in the dark.
Where you've always
been. I'm not allowed to come out of the closet in your house. Got a clean-cut American family. I'm not allowed to come out of the closet in John's house.
So, Rox, how are your lover's penises?
They've been good.
It's a proper noun.
They've been good. I've never complained. It's the attitudes.
Well, wait a second here. I have Viagra 30 pills by 100 milligrams plus Cialis 10 pills at 20 milligrams. This is not an arithmetic problem, by the way.
Do not mix the pills. I don't think that's a good thing to do. Do not mix.
If the Cialis is coming from Chicago at 100 miles an hour, and it meets Viagra coming from Los Angeles, who will go blind first? Okay, I have a novel idea. Let's have a podcast.
Sounds like
Do you wish you had a wider and thicker penis?
Somebody thought you should know that your breath stinks. This message isn't to be mean. Quite the opposite. It's a friendly, just thought you should know reminder intended to help you improve your life.
Who's all clickety-clackety? We can hear that really good. Clearly.
Not me.
Ed doesn't know how to type.
Wasn't me.
Ed knows how to type, but Serv doesn't know how to read. Remember?
Unless it has terms like lover's penis.
It's Cialis and Viagra.
and bathtubs out in the middle of the fields.
That's right. Okay. It took me a minute. I'm like,
or at the beach. It could be at the beach.
They're not in the commercials. Do you know how hard in the commercials, drag out of the beach. It's hard to drag a tub to the beach, where in the woods, that's where everybody throws their trash.
In the meadow, yeah. In the meadow, it's easier next to the... Which you don't see. If the camera pulled back another 10 feet, you'd see the double wide right next to it.
That's right.
And the strange thing is, why aren't they in the tub together? I mean, did his penis grow so large that she just can't fit in the tub?
She can only hope.
Post-coitus.
So what is the topic for tonight?
All right. Well, you're the one that wanted to talk about Star Wars.
Hold on.
No, I don't want to do Star Wars tonight. What did Ed had like 6,000 tech things that he wanted
to
talk
about.
Yeah,
there was like the use of the iPad, which I can fill in on. The iPhone. I had one where the whole plethora of monster lit that's now been plaguing us. You know, the whole
monster.
Yeah, you know, the Pride and Prejudice and Zombies sentence.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Well,
Vampire Hunter.
I came across Android Karenina just the other day.
That's not about the same author, is it?
You know what? I think they just have now a stable of guys just, hey, here's a Cliff Note book. And, you know, throw a monster in there or two. Even though the Anna Karenina book or the Android Karenina, it's pretty thick. I flicked through it and I'm like,
like the lover's penis?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So,
fantastic.
I'm sorry, John, you were saying
Rox wins. This conversation has made me uncomfortable.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought I'd get a cheap laugh out of it, but now I'm like, oh, really? Okay.
Congratulations, Rox. It takes a lot to creep out, John.
No.
I'm not creeped out. I'm just uncomfortable.
He's uncomfortable.
Well, that's because he's sitting on a bottle. I've seen pictures of it on the internet, but I've never seen anyone do it in person.
I've seen two girls do it. Wow.
No, that's a cup.
This is true.
Nice.
Actually, I have not seen that, by the way.
That sounded like a little T-Rex.
I have no urge to see that. Because it's something you can't unsee.
That is true. You cannot unsee two girls.
No, you can't. Let's move away from this topic. Well, let's move away from this
all right,
topic
so,
because just it's safe. You don't want me to say something. You just don't.
We need a safe word. We need a safe word.
More?
Ubuntu, or whatever. That'll be our safe word. Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Whatever that damn Linux thing is.
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu.
Ubuntu. Yeah, whatever.
Badonkadonk. That'll be our safe word. Badonkadonk.
No, you're mispronouncing the safe word. I'm not stopping.
Oh, I know. Why don't it be LeBron James? There we go.
Because I yell that all the time.
There you go.
So,
Tournament.
So that wouldn't work very well.
All right. Well, that's... No, it's a word you never use.
No, it's a word I always use.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
I'm sorry.
What's our agenda?